I trust you will continue to pray about the building fund project, and not just pray, but allow the Lord to speak to you and enable you. You can do it. Do something, and maybe the Lord will speak to you about more. But determine you're going to do something, all right? Margo and I doubled up our giving today to be part of that activity, and I want to encourage you to do the same, or not necessarily double, maybe even more than double. Whatever the Lord gives, tells you to do, do it. And know the Lord will supply as you give. When we were in college, Margaret was in college, but we weren't married at the time. We had a missions convention at the college students. And they made an appeal in the chapel service for giving to missions, and I had $10 in my pocket. Now this is back in 1963. I had $10 in my pocket, and the Lord just, and that was all I had for the week left. Now, mind you, I was living in the dorm, and we had heat and water, and I was on the meal plan, so I had food. I wouldn't starve. But the Lord impressed me to give that $10. And I gave it. I went, after chapel, I went to the mailbox to get my mail. And in the mail, there was a letter from one of the members of my home church. The only time I got a letter from them in my college time. And in that letter was a check for $10. Now, the Lord had already spoken to them about sending me $10. And then the Lord spoke to me about giving $10. Isn't it amazing how the Lord works? Now, the check would have been there whether I had given that offering or not. But it was a lesson to me that the Lord would give back to me. And he has never failed me in all my life. I started giving when I was a 12-year-old paper boy. And I've been giving ever since. And the Lord has never failed. So, I encourage you not only to give your regular tithe and offerings and give to missions, but to participate in this special offering for the windows, for the restroom that it can be brought up to code, and we'll participate in that manner. God bless you as you do. Well, turn your Bibles today to a familiar passage in the Psalms, Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This is a Psalm of David, and it's a Psalm that he wrote after his sin with Bathsheba, and after the prophet Nathan confronted him with his sin. And it was a psalm of repentance from the heart of David. Psalm 51. It says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of the righteous, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer you bulls on your altar. I want to turn to one other psalm, Psalm 32. Now, even though it comes before Psalm 51 in the Bible, it actually is a psalm written after Psalm 51. And David here is talking about the blessedness of the forgiven. Now he is forgiven. Psalm 51, he's repenting. Psalm 32, he's expressing his heart as he acknowledges and understands the blessing of being forgiven. So read with me this psalm. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of great waters, they shall not come near him. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with the songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. These two psalms come right out of King David's life experience. David, a man that God describes as being a man after the heart of God, sinned. David sinned. He committed murder and adultery. David knew he had sinned, but he kept quiet about it. And even though no one else seemed to know, David knew. He said, I can't get away from it. My sin is ever before me. Then Nathan the prophet came to confront him with his sin, and David understood that God knew. God is faithful in his love to us so that he'll confront us with our sin, because he's not willing that any should perish. And so, being a faithful God, he confronts us with our sin. He makes us understand that he knows. Psalm 51 is David's confession of his sin after Nathan comes. He weeps for forgiveness. He says, my sin is always before me. He says in that prayer, purge me, cleanse me, wash me, blot out my sin. Hide your face from my sins. Don't cast me away. Restore me, uphold me. It's a descriptive cry from the heart of David to once more be in the fellowship of God. But Psalm 32 is written after David has confessed and has been forgiven. Here he weeps no more, but rejoices. Blessed is the one who has been forgiven. He uses some interesting terms as he considers these aspects of unrighteousness. The first term he uses is transgression. Transgression is the breaking of the law. It's the stepping over the boundaries. Trespass. It's a rebellion against God's righteous law. Trespass. And then he uses the word iniquity. Iniquity is a corrupting of God's righteous ways. It's a perversion. It's calling white black and black white. It's calling good evil and evil good. It's to know to do good and not do it. Iniquity. Iniquity abounds in our land today. And the third is sin. And sin is a falling short. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's missing the mark of righteousness. Now, not too many, hopefully, born again believers, not many of you here today would trespass. You know that's against the law of God, and you'll not step over the boundary. Not many here today, hopefully, would do iniquity, pervert the ways of God. God says, this is the way, and you say, I'm going to go this way. Pervert. God says, that's sin, and you say, well, it's not so bad. Iniquity. But missing the mark of righteousness. What's the mark? Well, the mark is Christ. It's to be like Him in how we walk, how we live, how we talk, how we act. This is righteousness. And I have to confess to you that there are times when I miss that mark. I miss the target. Paul said, I'm not yet all that I ought to be. He said, I was apprehended for righteousness, but I have not yet apprehended all that I was apprehended for. I'm striving for the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm reaching for it, but I miss the mark. Now, I'm not a archer. Don't know much about hunting or anything, but I understand that in archery, there is a term that's called sin, and the sin is a measurement in archery from the measurement of the amount that when you shoot the arrow and you miss the bullseye, That distance between the bullseye and where your arrow falls is called sin. It's a measurement. It's missing the mark. And there are times when I allow a thought. There's times when I speak. There's times when I act that are not worthy of Christ. And according to the Word of God, that's missing. Falling short. It's sin. David uses these three terms. He goes on to tell us how God treats these aspects of our unrighteousness when we confess. First, he says, God will forgive our transgressions. We have deliberately broken his law. We have trespassed. We have jumped over the boundary. The word here for forgive means to lift off or to take away like a heavy burden. So heavy will ultimately destroy us. God lifts it off us and he carries it away. Do you remember in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, they had two bulls. And one of the bulls they slaughtered and spread its blood over the altar. The other bull, they did something that was quite descriptive. They put on that bull a heavy burden. It was the burden of the confessed sins of the nation. They laid it on the bull, and then they led it out into the wilderness and set it free to wander. To wander away, to carry away the sins of the people. And David says, the sin, my sin, you have lifted it off me, and you have carried it away, taken away by the Son of God. The indictment against us is canceled. And we are set free from all of its guilt. We are forgiven. It's been lifted all the burden of sin. The burden of sin has been carried away. We used to sing that. The burden of sin carried away, carried away, carried away. The burden of my sin has been carried away. Praise God. Secondly, David says, our guilt is covered. Meaning it was put out of his sight by the blood. By the washing us clean of sin stain, Paul said to those Corinthians, he listed all these ugly, ugly, ugly sins. And he said, of such some of you were, but you have been washed. Hallelujah. The sin will not be looked on again, and we are treated as if we have never sinned, and we have peace with God. He's cleansed us. He's washed us. One uneducated man, his name was John, was invited to accept Christ as Savior, and he repeatedly said, I can't ever stand before God. When asked why, he said, I have sinned too much, I would be too ashamed. Then one day he said, I'm going to heaven. When asked how it was that he no longer was afraid to stand before God, he replied, because when I stand before God and he opens up his book to my name, Jesus is going to be there. And he's going to place his bleeding hand over my page. And all of my record would blotted out and covered by his blood. And God will see, I see no sin here. Now, This man, John, was nearly right. The blood will cover it all, and John will have peace, or does have peace with God. But where he was wrong is when it happened. It happened the moment John believed. Hallelujah. The moment he believed. We now have this confidence that we have been forgiven and our sins have been covered, and God treats us as if we had never sinned. Amen. The scripture promises that our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And that has the thought of continually, like the scapegoat, the bull whose sins were put on, the sins of the, as it walked away, it kept separate as far as the east is from the west, continually moving away. And lastly, David says that our iniquity is not imputed to us. It's an accounting term. It's not charged against us. Our sin was actually laid on Jesus. It was charged to him. He who had never sinned was charged with my sin. My debt was charged to him. And he took my sin to the cross. My bill has been paid in full, clean of any debt, because Jesus said, put it on my tab. A transfer was made. My sin was transferred to him, and his righteousness was transferred to me. Hallelujah. The union of these three thoughts represents complete forgiveness. What a wonderful package. So David goes on to contrast the happy, forgiven man with his former state of sin, of guilt. Psalm 32, verses 3 and 4 in the Message Bible says, when I held it all inside of me, my bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. The pressures never gave up. All the juices of my life dried up. He's describing himself. He was miserable and in great distress because of the guilt of sin. Is there anything more miserable and distressing and oppressive than living in a state of unforgiveness, knowing that you'll be found out and exposed, knowing that you will one day have to pay up for the debt of sin, waiting for the shoe to fall? So then listen to the promise of Scripture. Whoever covers his own sin will not prosper, the Scripture says, but whoever will confess his sin and forsake it will have mercy. Jesus says, whoever will call on him for forgiveness will find that he is just and faithful to forgive. David is speaking of being totally devastated by sin. The misery was so great, his body and soul suffered. The misery was constant all day, all night. No relief found from it. Since he was not seeking for the hand of mercy, he felt instead the heavy hand of judgment. Someone wrote a book called The Grip of God's Grace. Spoke of the squeeze. Ever when walking with one of your little children across a dangerous street or a parking lot, and your child wants to slip free and run, and you know it's dangerous, and so in order for them not to run away and be put in danger, you grip a little harder. No longer are you letting your child just hold on to your finger, but you grab a hold and you hang on tighter. And if the child tries to get away, you just squeeze a little harder to make sure that he won't be able to slip out of your grasp. That's the Holy Spirit gripping onto you. And when you try to squeeze and slip away, you feel the grip tightening on you. Let me tell you, that's the grip of grace. That's the grip of grace. Because God's not willing that you should perish. When we try to slip away, He squeezes tight. When we look to Him for His hand of mercy, we feel the love of God. But when we're slipping away, trying to slip away, He hangs on tighter. He's not willing that you should perish. It's the grip of grace. In Psalm 32:5, the Message Bible says it like this: "Then I let it all out. I made a clean break of my failures to God. Suddenly the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved. My sin disappeared." Songwriters, the old hymns, you could flip page after page after page in the hymn book, and one after another the songwriter was writing about this experience of knowing that my burden had rolled away. My sin was gone. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been cleansed. They were writing about this knowledge that sin was gone. What a blessed joy there is for the one who no longer attempts to hide his sin, but confesses and receives God's mercy. And what a change take place. I don't know if you remember the Couriers Quartet, Couriers Trio. They were graduates from CBC back in the 50s, I think, late 50s. And they formed a quartet while in Bible school, and then when Bible school was over, they just kept on singing. And they traveled the land back and forth and sang. They were one of my favorite groups back in the old gospel quartet days. And they became friends. But I had an 8-track. Remember the 8-tracks? I had an 8-track, and when I would travel, I would slip that into my car radio system. And there was one song that I kind of hated. And when I'd get to it, I would often push the button to jump over, because you could do that with the 8-tracks. You could just jump to the next song. And it was a song that they sang, and they sang. Through the whole song, about 3 or 4 minutes long, they sang one word. And it was kind of a bluesy type song. And they just sang this one word over and over and over and over. Flip, push the button, jump to the next song. Let's get on with it. The word was joy. And they sang it over. It took a while, but it got through this German head. It got through to me. They were singing. They were singing about the moment the sinner realizes the guilt is gone. The scapegoat has taken it away. The blood has washed it. The heavenly accountant has made a transfer. Oh, joy! No wonder they sang joy, 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 joy. They had never experienced it before, but now the burden had rolled away. Hallelujah! Sin was gone. Been forgiven. Blotted out. Transferred. They sang joy. And today, we offer you this awesome opportunity. If today you're plagued under the guilt of sin, You've tried to hide it. You hoped nobody would know. But you know, and you know God knows. And you're waiting for you to be found out. Come to Jesus today. He will cleanse you. He'll blot it out. He'll take your sin away from you. He will receive you as one who has never sinned. You say, Pastor, how do I do this? Well, first you must believe what I told you to be the truth. Believe in your heart that Jesus is God's Son and that He died for you, taking your place and the guilt of your sins laid on Him. He paid the full price. And believe that if you believe this and confess this belief with your mouth, Jesus will forgive you and your sins will be blotted out, covered, no longer charged against you, and the burden and guilt will be lifted away. And if you believe that and you confess that, according to God's own word, and He is not a man that He should lie, in that moment, you are forgiven. Your sin is covered. A transfer has been made. And you have the free gift of eternal life. There may be some in here today that you have believed that and you have confessed it, but you're still plagued by it. I want you to know that that's a lie from hell. That's the accuser who comes against you. I want you to know, and I want you to be able to sing along with David and rejoice with him because of the fact that he has forgiven you. And you are among the blessed who have been forgiven. And you can rejoice today because you are cleansed. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Jesus, thank you that if I call upon your name, you said you would hear that call and you would forgive. You would take my sin away. You would blot it out. You would never remember it again against me. You would give me your righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, there may be someone here today that is burdened by sin. Perhaps they're the only one in this room that knows about it. But they know that you know. And the guilt is unbearable. Lord, I know that if they will call upon your name today, you will forgive them. I don't care how many times they have done it. I don't care how many times they have called upon your name. You will not reject that call of faith, that cry, Jesus, forgive me. Lord, there are some here today that have done that, but Satan keeps reminding them of the awfulness of their sin, and they still live with a sense of guilt. God, I ask you to help them to understand that you have forgiven them. You'll never remember it again against them. Let them accept that by faith today, and let the shame and the guilt of repented sin be gone. And they will walk in freedom and righteousness and joy and peace. Would you pray this prayer with me today, everyone repeating it? Helping someone who may be here that needs to pray this prayer would be ashamed to do it by themselves. So pray along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are God's only Son, that you were born of Mary, that you died on a cross. You died for me. Though you had never sinned, you took my sin. I believe that on the third day you rose again. I thank you for forgiving me now. I ask you to forgive me of sin that's in my life. I've tried to hide it, but I know that I cannot hide it from you. And I'm plagued by the guilt of it. So Jesus, I confess it to you today. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. I believe now that you have forgiven me. I know that Satan will try to remind me, but he's a liar. Because you forgave me. And you gave me freely your righteousness. So I rejoice right now in the fact that my sin has been covered, blotted out by your precious blood, lifted away from me, carried away, and I have been washed and cleansed. I rejoice today that I am forgiven, and I praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus.